And now, the Now Show! Yes, welcome to the Now Show. Now, during this programme, you may experience very poor reception. We apologise for this. It's due to transmitter problems and a capacity shortfall.
Yes, but this problem should be localised, and I'm sure you'll agree that poor reception in the north is a small price to pay for a perfect signal in the south. I'm Steve Punt.
And I'm Eddie George. And now, Busman and Quantic.
This week, one of the world's most evil dictators was arrested in London for crimes against humanity. Tragically, Richard Branson had an alibi, so the police arrested Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet.
There are three things you need to know about General Pinochet. One, he has a human rights record so appalling that Margaret Thatcher calls him her closest friend. And says he should be released because he isn't a single mother or something. Two, he's so evil, Sting writes songs about him. And three, he is not to be confused with Pinocchio.
General Pinochet is basically a retired dictator. You can tell this from the fact that A, he kills people, and B, he dresses like Elton John playing a footman in a brothel.
His uniforms look like rejects from a bad pantomime. Whose army was he in, anyway? Dick Whittington's?
General Pinochet to see you, Doctor.
Good. Send him in, nurse. Ah, General. Bad news, I'm afraid. It's your shoulders.
What's wrong with my shoulders?
Well, they're over-decorated with fussy gold braid. I'm afraid you're suffering from what we doctors call epilepsy.
But to be fair to the old sadistic, torturing, subhuman filth, General Pinochet may be a mass murderer who'll surely burn in hell forever with maggots playing draughts with his nadgers, but according to the papers, he had a virtue. He thought Americans were rude.
Can you imagine being a race so unpleasant that a murdering, torturing dictator thinks you're rude? I mean, I wonder what he thinks of the Germans. I'm just amazed that the Labour government, a party elected on no principles who've still managed to lie to us, have done something quite radical for once by actually nicking him. Finally, a terrible crisis of conscience is over. Guardian readers can now buy nice Chilean wine without having to change the label on the bottle.
The Now Show.
I met an old nutter on the street last night. She looked just like a turkey that's been boiled. And she said, release Pinochet and Hitler and Pol Pot. And give Dracula some virgins and free beer. She said, release Ming of Mongo and Attila the Hun. And I'm sure Darth Vader really loved his mum. And I realized her gearbox was missing some gears. She's still crazy after all these years.
Well, the motor show's on at the moment, under the title The Adventure of Motoring. If only.
Start this baby up, and she purrs like a cat that's got the cream. But get her out on the road, and she starts to growl like a tiger that's just lost its lucrative promotional deal with a breakfast cereal. But when you put your foot down, you crash straight into the car in front of you. Let's try again. Oh no, red light, and speed bumps, and double parked cars, and people walking. What are they called? It'll come to me. Oh yes, pedestrians. Many of whom are overtaking me. So what do I think? This is the perfect car for anyone who lives on a disused airfield. But for driving around a British city in daylight, it might as well be an Austin Allegro.
Motoring certainly isn't like it was. Older people get nostalgic for the days when AA men wore uniforms and saluted you as you went past, which must have confused non-members.
Oh, look, a Nazi with a spanner.
In the old days, you would acknowledge a car of the same type. Your mum would go,
oh, look, there's our car.
As a kind of acknowledgement that your family too knew the secret of just how good a Woolsey really was. Nowadays, if your mum says,
"Oh, look, there's our car,"
it actually means, "Oh, look, there's our car," being driven by two 14-year-olds. Oh, dear.
There are, of course, two organisations called AA, and only one of them deals with cars. It's very important when you phone them, check you're dialing the right number.
Oh, look, darling, that was quick. They've arrived already.
Good evening. I've only had a couple. My name is Michael, and I am a car mechanic. There, I said it. I said it. Excuse me, I must just look at the road for a minute.
The government, of course, wants us all out of our cars because we all know about pollution. Any workers laid off by Rover shouldn't worry. There are plenty of jobs in the booming asthma inhaler industry. So the government say, use public transport. Except, of course, anyone who lives in a town knows that public transport vehicles are the worst polluters by about a million miles. Cars have got cleaner and cleaner, but London taxis are still allowed to drive around like there's a small oil refinery on fire in the boot. The only reason they have yellow lights on is so you can see them through the smoke from the taxi in front. Another reason no one will stop using cars is that cars have changed our idea of what constitutes walking distance.
Once you're in the car, walking distance is anything where the number of steps is in single figures. If you go somewhere and have to park anything more than the distance that could be covered by a reasonably fit human being in 30 seconds, someone will say,
"I think I saw a space a bit closer."
But you only have to walk 150 yards or so. It's the length of a ball of wool.
Go round again.
You want to scream, but in a car, everyone's Douglas Bader. So you hurl yourself into a one-way system and drive 2.5 miles to find a space some 50 yards closer, only to find it's been taken by a couple who presumably had their argument just minutes before you did, and the space you just left has been taken by a couple who you confidently think are going to have the same argument until they get out of the car and walk off. So you have to park 300 yards away and walk twice as far in an atmosphere of bitterness and acrimony.
But this is nothing to the pain of the multi-story. 30 cars circling hopelessly on the vague off chance that someone might leave. Once air traffic control is privatised, I think there's an opening for them here.
Hello, NCP Control. This is Blue Escort, Hotel 710, Tango Delta Charlie, requesting permission to park. Over.
This is NCP Tower. Please join the stack at level 9. Hold at 3 miles an hour at 150 feet. Over.
Blue Escort to Tower. We are low on fuel. I repeat, we are low on fuel. Over.
Tower to Blue Escort, please remain in holding pattern. A green Nissan on level 2 was cleared for departure, but the owner's just realised she left a melon at the till in Asda.
This is Rover 400, Foxtrot 470, Alpha Alpha Zulu.
Oh, hello, Mum. You are cleared to park on level 1.
Roger, Tower. That's a disabled space, actually, over.
Roger, Mother. Don't forget to limp. They're checking up today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Please welcome Alan Parker, Urban Warrior.
Brothers and sisters, look at the state of this country. Locks on our doors, not on our hearts. Let people into your hearts, that's what I'm saying. Don't let them into your houses. Unless you know them. In that case, if they are friends of yours, let them into your hearts and into your houses. Even then, take precautions. out on the streets, I take precautions, right? Something I always carry with me. It's a small mirror. What's that for? Checking my eyeliner? I don't think so. That is in case anyone tries to attack me with a laser. Gonna happen, streets are getting tougher by the day. They've got them in CD players, they'll have them on rooftops, you mark my words. Tools of the trade. You want to be an urban warrior, you need tools of trade. Whatever your job. Excuse me, have you got a job?
Yeah.
Never mind. What sort of job have you got, comrade?
Teacher.
Yeah, another word for police. Never mind. Well, yeah, don't do that, obviously. But if you want to be urban, whatever, if you want to be a carpenter, you need a saw. And that. hammer, I don't know. Whatever job, you need the tools. Urban warrior needs tools for something else I always carry with me out on those streets. It's a comb. What's that for? Combing my hair? I don't think so. That is for going, Hitler! So you put it to your lip, Hitler! Or Blakey! Yeah. It's like accusing someone of being Hitler. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I'm Hitler, that would be self-defeating. John, Dave, Alan, Bevis, Peter, Sarah. Names. We've all got them. Let's use them. Let's use each other's names for God's sake before it's too late. Comrade pal there, what's your name?
Greg.
Greg, Alan.
All right, Alan.
All right, Greg. It's that simple. Yeah, I know. But what's in a name? What is in a name? You say Mongol, we say Down syndrome. His mates call him Spackhead. And the point there is you should not mock the afflicted unless you know them. No, but the truth is, we all mock the afflicted, the disabled. We mock them with our able bodies, right? Just having an able body, you are effectively mocking a disabled person, right? There's something you can do about that, right? Say, for example, you're walking down the road and you see a blind man walking towards you. Bump into him. You say, sorry, mate, I didn't see you. Let them know you're on their side. Community. Cheers. Don't go back to your old values. Good night.
Bonaldo.
This week, the Associated Board of the Royal Schools of Music have filled a glaring hole in their curriculum by announcing that there will now be a jazz exam. Dan and Nick.
Your name, please.
Dave.
I'm afraid I understood that.
Oh, sorry. Dave. Bang, bang, bing, bang, zing,
zang. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes what?
Sorry, yes, Daddy-O.
That's better. You may now tune up. Thank you. Now your first piece, please. Thank you. Can you tell me what is wrong with this piece of music?
Yeah, all the instruments are playing the same song.
That's right. Translate the following into jazz gibberish. I like this tune.
Oh, this smoking vibes, man. It's got a real
Thank
groove.
You. Summertime and the living is easy.
Summertime and the living is easy.
Thank you. What is the correct length for a drum solo?
12 hours.
Correct. Imagine the following. You're confronted with some music that is obviously crap, but it's ethnic. How do you respond?
It's got certain something that we in the West have lost that you can't quite put your finger on, and I'll tell you what it's got soul.
Correct.
Pont and Dennis.
Thank you. Now, supermarkets at the moment are doing very well. Apparently they're overcharging customers while at the same time underpaying suppliers, or as it's sometimes known, supermarket forces. Whatever happened, people cry, to the good old corner shop? Well, the answer is, wipe away the mists of nostalgia and face facts. The good old corner shop was rubbish. Yes, you got a cheery wave and the owner knew your name, but on the other hand, all he stocked was a few slightly dusty tins with the prices written on in marker pen, and he had to add up the prices on the back of a paper bag.
Here at Robert's Corner Shop, we've got low, low prices on everything in stock. Tin soup, just 35 pence. Tin vegetables, just 35 pence. All three of our packets of Frosties are just 45 pence. More expensive than at the supermarket. But they're quite a lot older, so you can still go in for that competition, which actually finished last month. We've got several onions, some licorice bootlaces and lots of cream crackers, all at great value. So come down to Robert's Corner Shop, because quite often, I add up wrong.
Because, of course, supermarkets rose as the austerity era ended, and they've helped expand the nation's taste buds beyond tapioca and Spam. Look at the fruit and veg department. When I was a child, it was like potatoes, cabbage, carrots, apples, and come early December, for 5 minutes, satsumas. All the satsumas are in. No, they've gone. Now you just pray for anything you recognise. Shelves full of vegetables that look like Star Wars characters. They sit there going, buy me, great British public. Delia likes me, why don't you? But we're hard to persuade. And sometimes it's just the name. My favourite is Ugly Fruit. The Ugly Fruit. The marketing people, I think, have slipped up there. Ugly Fruit, yes, it's over there by the pus pods. just next to the veruca berries. I once bought, and this is true, some galangal, which is like ginger, but for Thai food. And the person on the till couldn't find it on their price list, and eventually worked out that it was there, but it had been listed as ganjo. The only place in Britain, of course, where you can see a real old-fashioned supermarket as they were about 20 years ago is on Supermarket Sweep, a programme with the catchphrase, every time you hear the beep, 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 think of the fun you could be having on Supermarket Sweep. A catchphrase which ties in perfectly with the theme of supermarket checkouts, it doesn't scan properly.
The people I feel sorry for in the supermarket are single people, because supermarkets aren't designed for single people. They're designed for families. Enormous families. Families who want to buy industrial-sized packets of cornflakes and Hellman's mayonnaise the size of a diving bell. Crisps. Crisps, there's one. If you want a single packet of crisps, don't go to the supermarket, because in the supermarket, crisps come in sleeping bag size. And milk. Pint of milk, you'll be lucky at my local supermarket. The smallest size is 46 pints, and they've usually gone. Only the 18-gallon drums left.
Yes. Now, the other thing...
And toilet rolls. Have you seen the mega multi-packs of Andrex? They're bigger than the average toilet. See, only last week, one manufacturer had to abandon their new extra-large cereal box because it wouldn't fit in anyone's cupboard, although the box itself had special cut-and-flat panels so you could turn it into a full-size porter cabin.
Finally, I think...
And here's another thing. Did you see EastEnders? What is Ian Beale playing at? That new shop. Beale's Market. Ian Beale, the Richard Branson of Albert Square, has opened this shop full of tat and junk. The kind of shop that opens temporarily when other shops close down. And they keep on talking about it as if it was Harrods. It'll kill off the market. No, it won't. The only thing that kills off markets is this.
Get your average dummy 60 pence, you mush.
You see, with the best will in the world, how can you conduct a purchase with someone who only speaks a little-known dialect of southern Uzbekistan? You can say what you like about supermarkets, at least you don't get this.
Excuse me, where are spices and condiments, please?
60 pence, you mush, get your lovely strawberries.
Busman and Quantic.
There's a new Disney cartoon out, Mulan, the true story of a Chinese girl who dresses as a man to fight the invading Mongol hordes. And to promote this dramatic tale of battling Chinese trannies, Disney have done a tie-in with McDonald's. If you believe that an extruded meat product can have an educational and historical function, you'll love the new Oriental McRib.
Also available, the Mulan Happy Meal figurine. Mulan has moving hands and realistic crippled feet from foot binding. This offer applies to one child per family. If you have more than one child, please leave it to die on a hillside.
And why should it end there? Hey, McDonald's, grab the bull by the horns, then puree it and put it in a sesame seed bun.
If you liked Mulan, you'll love our authentic Oriental Pol Pot noodles. Not available after 11:30.
What gets me is that every time a Disney film comes out on video, it's a classic. Look, if it's not Bambi, it's not a classic.
New for Christmas, a double bill of classic Disney film classics. For the first time together, the animated classic The Hairy Princess and the classic family classic Limping Billy the Smelly Labrador.
You see, Disney have a strange definition of the word classic.
Are you all right in there, Mr. Disney?
Yes, I've just done the most enormous classic.
Well, I don't care. I want to see Mulan.
Why? You hate cartoons.
I know, but afterwards I can go to McDonald's and have a delicious Chinese Opium Wars thick shake with real opium. Now, that's what I call a happy meal.
Now, according to The Independent on Sunday, Arnold Wesker, the gritty 60s playwright much loved by A-level examiners, has written a set of erotic fairy tales based on the Brothers Grimm.
Once upon a time, not so very long ago, Hansel and Gretel were out walking in the forest.
Ooh, what a huge wood this is.
Thank you. Look, a house made entirely of confectionery.
Mmm, what delicious cobbles.
Thank you. Let's go and look at this house. I wonder if anyone's at home.
You grab the knocker and I'll try the knob.
No. Let's try and get into the house.
my clematis.
Oh, sorry.
I can offer you whatever you like here. Cream horn, sticky cherry lips. What do you like, my dear?
Anything with nuts.
Oh, I can believe that. What do you prefer, me boy?
Penny chews.
So I've heard. I'll be back in a minute. Prepare to be astounded by my fabulous macaroons.
Come on, let's go.
But I'm too big to fit through the door.
Oh, stop boasting.
And they all lived happily ever after.
And now, once again, be afraid, be very afraid, but welcome the League Against Tedium!
Attention, scum! Scum, pay attention! You are nothing! Absolutely nothing! What are you? Indeed so! Supposing conventional wisdom to be a forest, I am chainsaw. You are spirals. The pen is mightier than the sword, you say. Very well, get out your pens, prepare to have your logic tested by steel. And you say, he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Indeed! Likewise, he who lives by the pen, he who lives by the word processor, all shall die by the sword. Only he who lives by the tank shall remain immune. Money doesn't grow on trees, you say. Yes, it does. It's paper. Fortune favors the brave. Indeed, misfortune also. Many a wise word from the mouth of the fool, but mainly unwise words. That's what they're famous for. Fools say foolish things. That is why they are called fools. The wise man says nothing. I am not wise. I am wiser than wise. I am so wise, the word wise is insufficient to do justice to my wisdom. A new word needs to be invented to describe my wisdom. That word is spelled XXZZWW. It is a word biographers might like to note. I invented during my moral victory at the World Scrabble Championships. It is unpronounceable in your mouths. Cleanliness is next to godliness, you say. Yes, and the chip shop is next to the hairdressers. Does not persuade me to visit either. You are forgiven.
The Now Show.
Marvellous. Thank you very much. Well, that's just about it for this week, except that earlier on, this being the week of the Motor Show, we asked our studio audience here tonight to think up some new names for cars, because I don't know if you've noticed, but the world ran out of decent car names about 5 years ago. Ford, in particular, seemed to be struggling. The downward path began a couple of years ago with the launch of the Ford Probe. And lately, it's got worse. Last year, they launched a car called the Car.
Get into the... Ah.
And worse still, and this is true, they were going to launch a high-performance model called the Car SI.
They were.
Until they thought better of it. And recently, of course, you know the way they name cars is they hold focus groups. And what's the new Ford called? The Ford Focus. What a long, imaginative journey that was. So we thought we'd give our studio audience the chance to have their own focus group tonight and see if they could do better. And these are the car names that we've had suggested. Mike has suggested the Vauxhall Sales Rep, which I rather like.
Zoe has come up with the Rolls-Royce Silver Kraut.
Quite a good name, actually.
Quite like the Fiat Pasta. That's quite
the Renault Tampax.
I don't really understand.
Sure, it's going through your head. Really.
I'm very keen indeed, this comes from Tony, on the Vauxhall Velociraptor. That's... So, out of left field, but I
and,
like that one.
Someone called David has come up with the Ford, he's a jolly good fellow, and so say all of us.
David, or Daffid, or however you pronounce it, three marvellous ones, the Vauxhall Potato, the Renault Weetabix, And the Ferrari, I'm actually a tosser with a very small penis, but I do have a very attractive car which I bought for the sole purpose of trying to get off with rather shallow women. There's no trace of bitterness there from David.
There's someone called Richard here who's stuck horribly in the 1970s. He's come up with the Ferrari Etch-a-Sketch. With which you can draw a picture of an equally sized Ferrari. Fantastic.
Greg and Caroline put their heads together and came up with the Vauxhall and London Waterloo. Yeah. And also the Ferrari Roche. Oh,
the Rover biscuit assortment.
No, that's very good. Well, what's
the Rover 2,400 redundancies?
Are we going to?
Ford, you'd think they'd have built a bridge. And that's about it. Well, who's going to win? Are we awarding a prize?
We should give some sort of prize. I think the prize should go for Greg and Caroline for the Ferrari Roche. I think that was marvellous. Yes. Whoa!
Finally, of course, one of the new cars to be launched at the motor show is the Daewoo Matiz, which is being launched for the city car market. It is, quote, aimed at city dwellers anxious to preserve that new car look. And how do they do it? Well, the car comes with pre-scratched bodywork. Great gouges running from one end of the car to the other. That's brilliant. They're already planning a top-of-the-range model.
Yeah, that one will be pre-scratched, pre-stolen, pre-torched and pre-dumped on wasteland.
That'll be the Daewoo. Daewoo.
Thank you very much. Good night.
The Now Show was hosted by Steve Hunt and Hugh Dennis and was brought to you by Jane Busman, Emma Clark, Dan Friedman, Simon Munnery, David Quantick and Nick Romero. It was developed by Bill Dare with the producer, Aled Evans.
If you want tickets to come and join the studio audience for The Now Show, we record every Thursday from now till Christmas in central London. The ticket phone line is 08700 100 400.
And the tickets are free.